Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we begin to consider the account of the life of Elijah the prophet. Now, because of the sins of the people of Israel, their persistent rebellion against the word of God, their disobedience to the law of the Lord, and their wandering and whoring after other gods, God had sent a great drought upon the earth. He said to Elijah that, "As I live, there shall not be a drop of rain on the earth except at thy word." And so for 3 years, there was no rain. God was punishing the Israelites for their sin, but he was caring for Elijah the prophet, who spoke in his name and preached the truth to the people. And so for a good period of time, Elijah was fed by ravens, the scriptures say. They brought him food, and he was fed, and he drank from a brook. But in the course of time, the brook dried up, and God said to him, "I have prepared another way for you to be taken care of. I want you to go to Zarephath, and there is a widow woman there, and I have commanded her that she may care for thee." So he goes to the widow woman, and to make us a longer story short, what God does is he preserves a small amount of oil and a small amount of meal in a barrel, so that until the time that God decided to bring rain upon the earth and bring the great drought to an end, Elijah, the widow, and her household were providentially cared for by the might, power, and mercy of the Lord. Now, the same, although in less dramatic manner, is true for all of us. The fact that we are here together today worshiping the Lord shows that God has kept his promise up until this point to care for us and to help us in all of our needs. Now, I know that I have had many temporal needs, and I know that you have had many temporal needs, and yet we have not starved to death. We have not wasted away. We have not perished at the neglect of the Lord. But here we are today to continue to sing his praise and to give him glory for his faithfulness. But we have to admit, even though we are here today, we have to admit how often haven't we let the needs that arise in our life and our human reason, which is corrupted by sin, rob us of our confidence in the Lord? Sometimes we look around us and we see the difficulties that arise in our lives, and we become impatient when some well-meaning Christian encourages us to trust in the Lord, because we're in that mood, you know, that Christians often get in, where we want to stew in our juices. It doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, we love to do this to ourselves. We love to stew in our juices. We love to sit in the puddle of our misery and feel bad about our lot in life. Well, the disciples responded in the same way. And here's the deal. The feeding of the 4,000 happened only months after the feeding of the 5,000. So it's not like the feeding of the 5,000 is old news. It's still pretty close in the recent past. And they still have that lodged in their memory. So what is the Lord trying to say to us today in the feeding of the 4,000? He is encouraging us to believe and trust that He will help us and provide for us even in temporal, earthly matters. We know He's our Savior from sin. We know that when we die, we are going to be with Christ in paradise. We know that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus wants us to know that even while we are still here in this fallen world, He is gracious and merciful to us, so that we may depend upon Him in every need that arises. Have confidence in the Lord. Consider, first of all, the need and our Lord's compassion. The Bible tells us that the multitude of people was with Jesus in the Decapolis. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but what it means basically is they were out in the middle of nowhere, all right? They were out away from towns, away from villages, and lots of people had come to Jesus from afar. And Jesus says, they've been with me 3 days. So whatever provisions they brought, you know, picnic time, going to see Jesus do miracles and listen to Him teach, they brought provisions for themselves, but after 3 days, the provisions wore out. And now you have people out in the middle of nowhere who need food. And it's not a light matter. Jesus is concerned, if I send them away fasting, they will faint along the side of the road. Wouldn't that be a testimony about Jesus that the enemies of the Word of God would love to sink their teeth into? Oh, Jesus dragged all these people out into the wilderness. He preached to them until they practically passed out. And then He sent them home, and they all fainted along the roadside. And the roads were scattered and littered with the fainted bodies of the poor people who had to endure such a long sermon. Consider the need. And Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude. All right, because they've been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. So we see Jesus' compassion, His desire to give temporal blessings. Now what He does is He sets it up for the disciples. He tees it up for them and holds it before him. He calls them to him and he says, listen, I'm concerned about the multitude. I have compassion. They've been with me 3 days. Waiting for them to say, well, you know, remember a couple of months ago, the feeding of the 5,000? We can't do anything about it, but you can, and we know that you can, and we know that you will. All right, so Jesus tees it up for them, and what do? The same thing they did with the feeding of the 5,000. They look at the situation, they say, this is crazy, and they say, where are we going to find food for all these people in the middle of nowhere? So once again, the disciples are invited to take the bait that Jesus lays before them. But instead of taking it, instead of remembering his faithfulness, instead of calling to mind the wonderful miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they go right back to where they were before. How are we going to do something like that way out here in the wilderness? So Jesus, quite possibly with a little exasperation on his face, he says to them, how many loaves do you have? And they look into their provisions and they say, seven. We have seven loaves. And he says, all right, tell everybody to sit down on the ground. Now notice here, you have Christ telling us of his compassion and his desire to do something. So we have the gracious word of hope and promise from Christ. And yet we have the disciples who are being invited to get in on it and to celebrate this gracious work, but all they can see is the problem and their own inability to fix the problem, and they do not knock it out of the park. But Jesus knocks it out of the park, and he does it in a very interesting way. He repeats all the activity of the earlier miracle. He tells the disciples, what do we got? He tells them to have the people sit down. He gives thanks. He blesses the bread. And then he takes, he breaks, and he gives to the disciples so that they can hand it out to the people. And so we see this giving and breaking and distributing. It's exactly the same kind of action. It is though Jesus is desiring that the disciples, by watching this, will remember. All right? Now, what do we have to say about Jesus blessing the bread? We have our fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And when Luther explains this, he says that God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to the wicked. But we pray in this petition that, number one, he would lead us to know it, and number two, to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. See, that's why we say grace when we eat. We're not saying grace because we're afraid to be poisoned, all right? We're not saying grace because we need to pray over the food because goodness only knows what's in there, right? We pray over the food because we want to learn that God gives us his daily bread so that we may know it and that we may be genuinely thankful for it. All right, so Jesus blesses the bread. Then he begins to reach into whatever container these loaves were in, and he keeps pulling loaves of bread out and fishes out. And for some reason, these loaves of bread never stop coming out. And these little preserved fish never stop coming out. And the disciples must be amazed as they see this same miracle happen again. Right? They see it taking place again. They are reminded of the connection between these two miracles, both showing the compassion, the mercy, and the salvation of the Lord. Then, when everybody has been full, I can't eat another bite, say 4,000 people, all right? The miracle stops, and Jesus says, all right, go and gather the leftovers. Now notice, when they started out, there were 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Now, when they gather up the leftovers, there are 7 large baskets of bread remaining. So, where you had 7 small loaves of bread, now you have 7 large baskets full. Now, here's one difference between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. In the feeding of the 5,000, there were 7 baskets full of, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. But the Greek word for basket means a little basket that you hold in your hand. All right? But the 7 baskets in our thing here refers to the kind of basket that has loops on it that you put it on your back like a knapsack, like a big camping knapsack, a large hamper basket. All right? So, in the second miracle, there are actually more leftovers for the disciples than there were in the initial miracle, because there were 12 baskets, but small baskets. Now we have 7 large hampers full of bread. What does that mean? What the Lord is saying is, look, trust me, all right? Remember my compassion. See my power in action. Remember whom you have confessed me to be according to the word. And now look, the final evidence for you is these 7 huge hampers of leftover bread. Don't you think that I know how to take care of you in your need and in your trouble? And that, my friends, is what the Lord is trying to say to us through this miracle. And just to back it up in conclusion, in Matthew chapter 6, we read these words. Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. Next time you are tempted to stew in your juices because things aren't going your way, remember these words and keep your eyes focused on God's gracious ability and power. Finally, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, St. Paul, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.